Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, we have an amazing guest. She's a high-powered woman, and she's here to help not only high-powered women, but anyone in our audience that could use her vast wisdom today. We have Kalpa Gupta. She's a childhood sexual abuse survivor and the founder of Connect, a consulting company helping her clients build trust, mitigate risk, and grow in profitability and equitability, while also creating internal awareness for the high achievers who, like herself, have used their achievements to deflect from dealing with trauma. I love your bio. What else would you like to add to it?
Thank you, Karen. This is such a joy to be here and serve your audience. Yes, so I'm an advisor, product leader, and a coach. And I would say that, as we were chatting before the episode as well, that, you know, I deflected my trauma in my achievements for as long as I could. And one day it just didn't work. And I hit my rock bottom. I'm a mother of a 9-year-old. My son must have been around 3 years old then. And we'll get into that, a Christmas sticker story where one day I came back from work. I was leading a large global team in a Fortune 500 company. And I was so not in my body. I took the Christmas sticker. Remember when you donate money to charities, they send you like the Christmas beautiful stickers, the addresses that you can put in a letter or, you know, cards. And he just loved one card and I tore it and I wasn't paying attention. I was like totally in my head about thinking about some workplace, and he's like nagging, and just imagine that, you know, child, and I'm hungry, just getting ready for dinner. I think my husband was prepping the meal or something, and I just shoved it in a dustbin in our upstairs bedroom, the washroom. And he just cried. I have this imagination. I don't know if it happened or not, but I feel like he will, like saying, like, and he couldn't speak the full words, right? So that told me that the way I was being, something was wrong. Like, what was going on in my life that I would show up as a mom to my child that way? Nothing externally was worth it. And I think that led me down a different path of then having a few conversations with my husband about therapy. Eventually, I didn't get that help at the time, and I quit my job after work being completely burnt out. Fast forward now, I tell that story to other high achievers to say, get in tune with your body, your mind, and your soul and spirit before, and don't let my story be yours.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm here.
Yeah, I think that's really an important message, because what most people don't seem to know until they're at rock bottom is trauma impacts every area of our life, our emotional health, our mental health, our physical well-being, and even our spirituality, our souls. So I think you're absolutely right. It's important to put ourselves and those priorities on our families, you know, impacts our families. So, yeah. So what did you do after you hit rock bottom?
What did I do then? So I waited even then, right? So I was in a director role. And it was also a very toxic environment. And part of what I realized at the time was I would do everything to continue down that path of achievement, right? Only if I did, if I tiptoed around this person, or maybe I came up this way, I was just running out of ideas how to fix myself. And it took me, still took me, even when I hit rock bottom, I realized I had financially not been managing my money, right? Mm-hmm. I'd been married with my husband for a long time. We're still married in a loving relationship and maybe even stronger bond now. But at the time, I had all these stories that maybe my marriage is also falling apart. I'm not, you know, my husband like I was making all kinds of, supposed issues in my head about how the kind of marriage I was in, and the kind of, family I had, and all these are the, and some of those were true from a work perspective, but a lot of the stories were not true. So eventually, fast forward, I went through, I was working with an executive coach at the time, and I found that working through my patterns and things, one day I felt like I was this imposter who was, it wasn't about work. I was worried about all these things about that had happened in my life. And I remembered repressed memories from my childhood. I was sexually abused from my early memory, from about 3-4 years old up until like 20, right? And by different people and different members in my family. So that was really scary at the time to say, to tell anybody. And I had tried telling maybe one or two people, and then the reaction, the way I had got it in my adult life from friends, I made the story that it was my fault, right? So what I did, Karen, eventually fast forward is thankfully through that coaching, then eventually I went through a lot of therapy, hours of therapy. I went through, breath work, like all kinds of, I would say both top down and bottom down, right? Approaches like in therapy, like healing my body through breath work, meditation, many neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, like all kinds of things, energy, right? And it's taken me years to get where I am right now, where I've even publicly shared my story. And that's become one of my core, callings in life to really tell that don't take it. It took me a long time, but it doesn't have to take that long time. Healing has its own journey, but there are some things that we all can do by talking, by reaching out to help to others, other experts who might be able to help you.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've tried lots of different things. What in during your therapy approaches, what was the most helpful things that you did? And they could be about therapy or just your own wellness in general.
Yeah. One thing I would say is what really helped me was eventually forgiveness, right? That's the stepping stone. And I remember, and forgiveness at different points in time, because we are ready for different layers at different points. Like initial forgiveness was just writing a letter, right? I remember, and this was like, I wrote letters, maybe post-it notes for like probably 20 or 30 people. I just started making a list of why my life was not good because of A, B, and C people, because I was in that mind frame at that point. Like I knew I was the common thread in all those problems, but I also knew, okay, this happened. And don't get me wrong, some of the things, it's not that it didn't happen, but I had to vent it out. So I find it very powerful in healing. If you are feeling overwhelmed and you are feeling like a victim, and we all are victims of a certain, incident, right? But don't let that guide your rest of the narrative and your story, right? There's tremendous power in actually listening to that that emotion, because once you start writing that forgiveness, letter of forgiveness, sometimes it's the first time that inner child is seeing that release. And really that's what it is, because I wasn't seen, heard, or validated or loved. And these are the stories that I made up about myself. So that forgiveness is what started to shift me from going, okay, this is this thing that happened long ago, right? That is no longer my reality. I'm not around those people anymore. But what other ways, what is happening? So once I was able to let others, give them a pass, and I was then able to say that, look, this was not even my fault, because if something were to happen to my child, it wouldn't be his fault. Right. So that also is the second thing that shifted me, the forgiveness, and then being a mom and going, I want to create a better world, right? Where kids have to go through this.
Mm-hmm. Our sons are the same age, by the way.
Yeah.
And I don't know about your son, but my son, his name is Gideon. He's so loving and affectionate and innocent. And to think about something happening to him. I have two girls too, who are older, the age of 9, he's so innocent still. I would die of something. Yeah. I wouldn't die. I would recover. But it just feels like, oh, so painful to think about someone hurting him.
You know? It is. And my son, he's Aryan. He's the joy of love of my life, right? You know, along with my husband, Arnav. He, this morning, since you mentioned that, Karen, like, I'll give you a practical example for how it shows up, right? Like being a mother, I think being a mother, my path to motherhood has actually propelled me in doing what I'm doing and why it's so important, right? So this morning, like I try to be mindful, right? So morning, some days that when I can't wake up and sit down for meditation, I was under the weather last week. So this week I was like, okay, if I wake up, I'll just listen into the meditation. I'm lying down. I won't go down, but I'll meditate while lying down. And, in that moment, my son, we co-sleep. So he's pushing me, right? So he's like, he's waking up. And just when he knows that I'm doing something, he needs the attention, right? Mm-hmm. So I use that as a test for meditation and mindfulness is all about, like, it's very easy to go in a quiet corner and go and sit and do something. But how do you stay mindful in the life that we have created consciously with my son, with my husband, with the work, with the clients, right? So he is a mirror to me on like, am I like, can I just take time and just listen? And also what stops me from just keeping my arm on his head or his hair and just enjoy, like, or if he's touching me, okay, he's touching me with love. I don't have to just react to that, right? And then there was a point where he just kicked me. I felt like it was a kick. And so I wouldn't say gently, I pretty much was firm. I moved his arm and then I'm going, well, am I hurting him or am I like creating my own boundary of being, you know, present and being there for me so that I can care for him? So these are the practical day-to-day things that I deal with being a mom. And mm-hmm. I see that because as high achievers, we also have self-doubt. So sometimes we are trying to do too much for the other person, right? So where is that line where we know that, you know, here in this moment, I need to fill up my gas tank and so that I can be there? And what is that other time where knowing that it's the child needs that attention, you know, is that child in everybody? So I hope that helps, you know, that example.
Oh, I love it more than you could possibly know. I remember when my first daughter was born, she's 19 now, a college student. But I was trying to do yoga. And of course she woke up that morning. so she was like crawling around and I was trying to do yoga and she's crawling all over me. And I'm like, well, I guess this is how I'm doing yoga today. It's going to look like very imperfect with the child. And then I'm also working with a trainer right now, really early in the morning. So, you know, most of my time my kids like to sleep in the morning. So I try to get things done. But one day Gideon just sat on the stairs watching me do my workout with his like, when are you going to get done, mom? And it's like 6 a.m. Like, when are you going to get done, mom? I'm like, any other morning at 6 a.m. you are sleeping. So yeah, it's a great conversation. And of course we can feel guilty for not being there every second, or we can just roll and know that we need that time. And it's good for them to have to see our boundaries too.
Yeah.
So going back to your family of origin, is there anything about your past that you feel comfortable discussing a little more with, for just in case there's people listening that could relate or that would help them? And when I ask this question, I'm not trying to get you to talk about anything you're not comfortable with sharing. So just if there's something you want to share, this would be a great time to do that for them.
Sure. So I would say I grew up in a multi-generational household, right? So with my grandparents, with my uncles and my, you know, mom and dad, and I have a younger brother. And then I would say I was abused by one of my own young uncles. I was abused by a neighbor who used to teach me. I was abused by a couple of extended family members, uncles. And then I was also abused by a cousin, an elder cousin of mine, right? And all these things I kept secret. I did not tell a soul like until much later. And I would say I didn't even tell my husband up until like 15 years later, like only in the last couple of years that I've started sharing that story, right? And I say that to say for your listeners, if you're keeping it a secret, I hear your pain. I understand because, you know, our boundaries, our trust was broken by people that we know. So sometimes, and I would share one thing, Karen, that might help from a family of origin story perspective is I, for a long time, I thought I was the one playing out. Maybe, you know, what was wrong with me? Like, maybe this is the way of relating. Everybody I go, like, somehow it happens, right? And I remember that, you know, maybe I was the equally responsible in all this. It's not until, like, my son happened that I realized, no, this was not my fault. I even remember, like, particularly with my cousin, like, I was a teenager by then, and I realized, hey, I could have run away. I could have, you know, why did this happen again? Or we get so trapped in that the first time it happens, right? We are trying to survive. We are trying to be, you know, we are intuitive about people. So we make those choices. And so if any of you are listening, just know that if you also went through something similar, you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. And know that it is possible to break through. Like, now you are a powerful adult, that being, you know, who can choose to share that story with anybody you desire. No one can force you to. The important thing is that you, from family of origin perspective, you forgive yourself, right? You forgive yourself. And I would add another thing, Karen. I have shared that story with my mom, with my, you know, both sides of my husband's family, my family. And I would say 50% of the people in my extended family are survivors. Yeah. And I didn't know until I started sharing. So there's a lot of intergenerational thing, karma, that that's also surfaces. And the work that we are doing, that trauma gets to stop with us. So that's how that work is from a, you know, family of origin perspective. And then the last thing I would add on that is, as I started sharing my story, telling everybody, I shared with another cousin of mine, and she then confirmed that she was also, you know, about to be abused. She was elder than mine, but she somehow knew about things and she ran away. So it's some of them same perpetrators, and she still hadn't had the courage to share with anybody. So when I shared, that was so liberating for her and for me to go that, you know, also get the validation. I mean, I'm already at a space where I hold the space for, you know, like, people can have different reactions, right? Like, I'm not going, I'm not, there's no expectation in when I'm sharing that story, right? I'm simply holding the space. I'm sharing from the perspective, look, there's a different possibility. There's a different identity possible, like, despite all our traumas. I hope that helps.
That was crazy powerful. Yeah. I loved how you said that the trauma can stop with us, you know, talking about these hard things with different people, friends, family, it gives them permission. What they don't need it from us, but somehow us speaking out helps them feel like they too can speak out if they choose to, you know, if they're ready to. So yeah, I think that's pretty powerful. And intergenerational trauma is something that we're studying more and more, and more research is coming out. And then epigenetics, the trauma that gets stored in our cells, like right from utero, you know, if our mamas have a lot of trauma, we're carrying that. And that just opened up a lot for me, because I know my mom is also a trauma survivor of traumas much worse than what I have gone through. And I suspect when she was expecting me in utero, she was pretty stressed and young, really young at the time.
Yeah. And those are the stories that I think, you know, when I started sharing, there was a little bit of a fear earlier on, right? Before I got to the place, because I went through one therapist and she gave me the permission. She's like, you don't have to share with anybody if you're not ready. Like, and I was like, okay, you know, I've talked about it and I understand my pattern. I'm okay. Like, I don't, like, this is my past and that's it. And then I was ready with another couple therapists to get more deeper, right? Mm-hmm. What I realized is, you know, when you start sharing, like, we make so many assumptions about that incident, right, that happened, that this means my parents don't care, or my mother doesn't love, or this means that, you know, maybe I'll break apart the family if I share about certain things. And what I realized is when I was sharing, it was opening doors for my family members. You know, like I went through a vision, some exercise and hypnosis, and I had so many visions of my past, like, you know, my ancestors and, you know, one of my grandmas recently passed away. And so I started asking all these origin stories because I saw these visions of what happened, you know, with many of them. And they got the validation. I got the validation that, oh, wow. Yeah. In this case, both my grandmothers were beaten by extended family members back in the day because they were speaking up for something. So all that trauma was getting stored in my grandmother's body. And then my mom, like, she was a survivor and she didn't know, like, she was only 20 when I was born, right? Back mm-hmm. in the day. And literally at some point, she probably contemplated suicide also, or killing one of the, you know, not having one of the babies. This is how it just affects us. So when we start talking and sharing, these are the kind of things then we realize, and we start to have empathy for other people in our life, also compassion that, wow, okay, this wasn't what the thing that happened to me wasn't okay, but I can see that, you know, why these people, right, they were not there for me, or they were busy, or they had so much. My mother was busy caring for an extended family. Like she was surviving, you know, in a very patriarchal kind of system. My dad was busy earning money, right? And he was himself like never had the opportunity to be a child in his life, right? He's 70 now. He's been working since, like, you know, like he was probably 18 or 19, like a breadwinner. So that's the power, right? When we actually go beyond the trauma of like our own trauma and just let that ego kind of not make it all about us. This is bigger than us.
Right? Yeah, it's huge. It's huge in families.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier about forgiveness. What would you say to women listening who simply don't feel like they're ready to do that? What would be encouraging them for them to hear? Are they bad for not being able to forgive at this point?
No. I remember speaking at a recent event, right? And someone had this visceral reaction saying, how can I forgive somebody, that neighbor who raped me when I was 5 years old?
Yeah.
And my heart went out to her, right? My heart went out to her. So I am very, cautious, right? From the perspective of what I mean by forgiveness. Forgiveness is not like taking responsibility for the horrible things that happened at the time when somebody did. That is their karma. Forgiveness is really you taking your power back, that whatever happened, that I am not going to let that thought, that event, that thing define me and make my life miserable. Because, you know, that person who did anything, they're probably not even thinking about it. Or they're thinking and they are going through their own, you know, crisis in their life. Trust me, right, on that. It may not appear, and I'll share some stories that might help other people. But like in this case specifically, like I later had a conversation with my cousin, right, who was childless and who, you know, like all kinds of issues going on in their life. And we spoke like after a long, like more than a decade, this thing, right? And I realized, God, I would never wish that on somebody, like, you know, and, you know, it doesn't mean that I take responsibility for what happened. What I'm saying is I took responsibility for my own energy and my mm-hmm. own wealth. Because guess what? You, all of you who have gone through that pain and, you know, trauma, you deserve love. You mm-hmm. deserve joy in life. You deserve to be seen. You deserve to be heard. You deserve the best in life. And only you have that power to give that to you. Right. So that it's a choice, right? It's a choice. It's a choice in saying what I open up to, what I want my next phase of my life, next day, next year to be like.
Yeah. Take accountability for our own healing.
Ownership for our, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great.
And I'm not saying that you would write one day and it's all done. There'll be layers. You know? Yes. I still have some things that come up, and I was just doing the breath work and I had to just remember some people and go, oh, this is where it's showing up. Okay. I'm sending love and gratitude and joy and everything to you, and my space, my energy, is very much like has boundaries, right? I would not let anything like enter that sacred space that I have created around me.
That's beautiful. Yeah. So I'm a big reader, and books have been a part of my healing journey, and many of the women I work with. Is that something you relate to? Are you a book person, and do you have recommendations?
I'm an avid book reader. So the one I have a newsletter. I probably have a list of like books there, but one of the books that I keep handy always is The Drama of the Gifted Child by Alice Miller. And then the other book, I would say a few books have had a really impact on me. One was The Book of Forgiving by Desmond Tutu. It's on the topic of forgiveness, and on the Drama of the Gifted Child by Alice Miller on abuse. And then as well as Body Keeps the Score.
That's a classic, right?
There's one more, Waking the Tiger by Peter Levine. Mm-hmm. And then there are plenty of other books. Like, I'm a big reader, right? So,
that's awesome. I'm going to have to sign up for your newsletter. I have not done that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, to keep connected that way too. I read a lot. And then in my monthly membership for survivors, we recommend 3 books every month for them to take a peek at, to see what would resonate with them.
So yes. That's really
cool. Yeah. So tell me what your healing journey looks like nowadays. So you've done a lot of work. It sounds like you meditate. That's part of your healing. What else do you do?
So I have my morning ritual, right? So I fill up my tank, right? Today it was meditation with my son on the bed, but normally it's a 30-minute meditation in the morning and followed by at least minimum 15 minutes of some physical movement, but mostly these days it's 5 days a week exercise. And I say that range because we need to allow for flexibility, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes as achievers, we get into this, this becomes about the thing versus actually how I'm being, right? So right. I have a number of things that morning ritual, like meditation, exercise, listening to music, journaling. These are like my core, like
practice. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Like literally core. Like I'm a talker. Right. I'm a generator and I have very high energy, which also means that I need to then recharge my tank. Right. And those are practices that give me grounding. On the name of grounding, I have a 5th one, which is in a day, I would normally go out in the sun and stand for like, even if it's like 30 seconds on the grass or something, and just look up at the sky, because it just it has a way of connecting. For me, it has a way of connecting me to source, my core, like God, whatever you say, right? Mm-hmm. And just know that I'm a spark in this universe. Sometimes mm-hmm. that just helps me ease a lot of the burden that we take on ourselves and simply just be, and, you know, so that those are my core practices.
I love them. Did you get those from the morning pages of The Artist Way, or did you get it from another coach or something?
I would say I did a lot of trial and error, right? So I was always a morning person. My grandpa, like, he passed away 30 years ago, but I had some things from him, and I would say they have mainly gotten solidified in the last few years, I would say. I don't know that anyone specifically gave me that menu. I think it was some work with my coaches on seeing the things I enjoyed in life and then observing, you know, these are the, you know, practice, and particularly on healing from trauma, I would say meditation and breath work, like these are just, they've got added to my menu probably more so in the last 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
Yeah. I take them on for a while and I'm like, that's so much work. Push them away. And like, oh no, I need those. Put them back in.
And I would say the meditation, particularly, Karen, I think sometimes people sit and meditate and it's like, oh, I can't see this. I can't feel the Zen. I can't see the light. It's not like you don't get there, you know, the very first day. I don't even know that I get there routinely. I would say the meditation for me is like observing, like what's going on, the clutter in my mind. Like sometimes you're sitting and you can hear the tap, like, or sometimes you're hearing, you're thinking about the next day and next thing that's on your list. So it's a moment to just sit and go, okay, what are these thoughts? And that act of noticing itself, you will realize like how much we stay in our head, right? Yeah. So Sometimes if anyone who's listening and is new and practicing, even if it's not 30 minutes, take 2 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yes.
Right? And just observe like what your thoughts are, because you are not your thoughts. You're not your body. You're not your mind. Like you mm-hmm. are a collection of all these things. You're bigger than any of these things.
Yeah. I tell my clients sometimes, like when you're just getting started, or even, I'm a therapist, I should have some of the stuff down pat, right? I tell my clients, I go, even myself, if there's a day that I'm really overwhelmed, sometimes I can only meditate. I do the child's version on Headspace. I don't know if you know Andy the Monk on Headspace, but he has a kids program and they're like 2 to 5 minutes. That is better than nothing,
Yeah. Yeah, I listen to a lot of I had some, I was part of a BK spiritual, Brahma Kumaris, they have a spiritual center in San Francisco. So one of my friends introduced me to that. So they're free meditation community and run by volunteers. And sometimes I have God's meditation on those 15 minutes. Sometimes I'll go to some of the astrology apps they have, Chani app, or sometimes even Andy Monk, on Headspace. Mm-hmm.
I love him. I love his voice. I want to be like Andy when I grow up. Yeah. Oh, I love our conversation,
Yeah.
So I think one of the things I would love to ask next, since we talked about a morning routine, how do you wind down your day? Do you have a bedtime routine as well? Love to hear it.
I would say it's there on paper. It's starting to become a little bit more consistent, right? So, but the two things that have stayed consistent in my bedtime ritual is, again, journaling and gratitude. So I usually sit down. I try to read a book again, but that varies sometimes. Depending on when I go, right? So I would say two things that are consistent are journaling, where I would just write down anything, my intention for next day. Usually mm-hmm. this gets me in that zone. And sometimes if my husband or son are not near me, then I also do the gratitude writing in my journal rather than telling them, right? And then the second thing I would do is the gratitude. So I ask both my husband and son, and then I tell them as well, what do I appreciate about each of them? And the list can include sometimes 2 things, 3 things, 5 things, as long as we don't run out of ideas, we just keep saying, mm-hmm. what do I appreciate? And it's very joyful, usually.
I love it.
Yeah, both with my husband and son, and then just listening to it, right? And mm-hmm. yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful. I need to encourage more people to think of it that way too. I've often thought about having the gratitude, or there's a great book called 1,000 Gifts of Gratitude.
Yeah.
And 1 year I just tracked that. I made a list of 1,000 things where I wasn't repetitive. But I love the idea of saying it to the people in your family around you.
So I started with that. I had done a course of Science of Happiness, right? So I've tried everything.
I love it.
Of course, they're all right. And then the basic practices, they come down to, savoring being in that moment, right? And gratitude and some exercise. And I highly recommend that course if anyone wants it. But otherwise, these are, I think, very well-proven ways of shifting us, right? When you're feeling low, one of the greatest ways to shift in that power is to go acknowledge what is good in our lives. And if we are on a Zoom, or if we have a roof over our head, or if we have food on the table, or it doesn't matter, this life is a gift. So just so much we can shift to, our perspective can shift the moment we start looking at what is going well in our life. I think that's the foundation mm-hmm. On which those practices are built.
Yeah, beautiful. All right. Well, I think we need to start wrapping up. Are there remaining inspirational words that you have for our listeners? Well, let's picture a listener who's really struggling in the moment. Their heart is heavy with something. I don't know, maybe it could be work-related or family-related, and they feel a little hopeless. What could you say to them, maybe a bit of a pickup?
Yeah. So right now there's a lot going on in the economy externally, right? With some layoffs, sometimes maybe there are reorgs within the companies or where the people are working, and or, you know, there's a lot of overwork, like sometimes role clarity is not there. And all of these can add up to our collective, you know, trauma, right? Individually. And if you're feeling hopeless, please reach out, right? Please reach out. I think one of the best ways you can shift that is just take a minute, just stop and take a breath, right? Mm. You know, this breath continues, you know, from the time we were born up until we die, right? So if we just don't do anything and just simply breathe, just listen to that body, what your heart, your mind is saying, and slowly you will start to become, you know, present, right? And I think those are the two things I would say, reach out to people for help or breathe. Just remember that, you know, that your breath is a powerful source of, you know, wisdom about your life, about your body. So connect with your, you know, with your, really what your heart is saying, because only you can do that.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, Kalpa. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Well, you've been a gift for us today. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule away from your family to spend some time with us today.
Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you. This was a joy. And I, if any of your listeners are, you know, feeling hopeless and want to connect with other high achievers and find that safe space, I also run a mastermind. And they can find more information on my website, but I'm always there to pick up a conversation and simply just help you in the moment where you are. So so be well, and remember, you're not alone.
Okay. Well, and tell us the name of your website too. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but.
Sure. So my company's name is Connects. So that came from what's next for Kalpa, right? Mm-hmm. With an XA. And it's pronounced as Connect. So it really, my purpose is to transform our relationship with ourselves. And we do that through consulting, coaching, advisory as well, right? So I have both. So the website name is Connect. It's KNEKXT.com. And I'll share the link, Karen, so that you can drop it in the show notes.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.